Two things I just thought about that I forgot to say. I was starting to say something about work and witness, and I couldn't remember, so I moved on. In the back, there is a fundraiser for Cuba. I just was asked to mention that. Heidi Carr is doing that. She's on Work and Witness in Guyana. And she just asked if we would mention that. It's one of these forms that's in the table in the back. And if you'd like to help with that, to know about that. And then also I had another thought unrelated to this row of young people right up here. Would you guys stand up? I'm pointing at you. That guy right there. Stand up and turn around. Would you give them a hand? Both first and second row. There you go. Thank you. The reason I wanted to pick on them today is I was thinking about kids' camp. Do you realize that they're four or five guys on that row? There's Dayton right there, and Chaz and Charlie and Noah and Garrett the Joker, who have all survived kids' camp and come home from it. I just wanted to point that out. I was their counselor. Some of them, I had them since childhood, and they were a lot of fun. But really, if you go to kids' camp, you'll probably survive. Except I'm thinking of Caden Martin, who I almost drowned in the pool last year. Caden, are you okay, buddy? All right, you going back to camp this year? You stand up, would you? There you go. I got carried away wrestling and throwing him in the water, and I didn't realize he hadn't come up for a couple minutes. So. We had a lot of fun, though. I do want to begin a sermon series today that is on the serious side. If you do know much about the life of Lot, you know that there are several stories from Lot's life found in the book of Genesis that are pretty heavy. And they have some pretty heavy topics in them. Lot, you could describe him in a lot of ways, and we will. In some ways, he seemed like a wild man out of control. He lived what some people would say was on the edge. Maybe right in between right and wrong. Right in between making good decisions and bad decisions. Right in between honoring God, but almost over the line, and many times over the line. That's how I read Lot. I want to invite you to invest yourself in Lot's life. If you're here on Sundays for the next 5 or 6 weeks, except for Bible School Sunday in a couple of weeks, I want to ask you to, if you want to do that, consider his life. And I think the reason I want you to consider his life is I realize there's probably a little bit of us like Lot in life today. Or you might say it this way, there's a little bit of Lot in most of us, maybe. Some more than others. Some people are really wrestling with the decisions about how close to be to God and how close you can be to the world without being not a Christian. I would suppose that most of us wrestle at times, at a certain time in our life, with just exactly how godly we need to be in order to be a Christian. And on the other hand is the world. How much is too much of the world? How much of the influence of entertainment and TV and Hollywood and music and movies and all that stuff? I mean, how much is right for a person who desires to live the Christian life? That's kind of what I'm really wrestling with Lot. I'm going to describe the negative qualities of Lot a lot in the next 5 or 6 weeks. Just about everything we read about Lot and his choices and his character, and probably more important to me, the consequences of Lot's life, are very painful in both Lot's life and in his family. If you want to look at somebody in the Bible and take a look at yourself in the mirror and maybe do some comparisons, Lot might be a good person for you to look at. See, Lot, just about as far as we know, lost everything eventually. His wife, as you've heard, turned into a pillar of salt. His daughters got him drunk and slept with him and had children. He once offered his daughters to appease an angry mob. He was greedy, I would say. He was selfish. He was opportunistic. And these stories, and there's not that many of them, 4 or 5 chapters in the book of Genesis that capture Lot's life, show us the consequences of the decisions of a man who seemed to live on the edge. I think he wanted to honor God, and we're going to look at that side too. But he seemed to make decisions that just continued to push him over into the painful place of what happens when we seem to want to walk a line, a fine line between God and maybe things that are ungodly and feel like we're okay. That's the reality when I read Lot. You may come to different conclusions when you hear the stories of Lot, and maybe you read them. Maybe God will say something to you that doesn't dawn on me and vice versa. But I would want to ask you, if you're willing to read and hear the life of Lot. So far, I've said a lot of negative things about Lot. Yet, I kind of have to stop in my tracks this morning and read a passage from the New Testament. Because all the things that I read in Lot in the book of Genesis are negative, but yet I come to this very perplexing scripture in the New Testament that I also have to be honest with is God's Word, and it says something about Lot too, and I'm going to read that. It's from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 6. Listen to what the New Testament says about Lot. Now, if you weren't confused already about Lot, now you're going to really be confused when you hear this. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "If God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard." So I have to ask myself, what's the Bible declaring about Lot? He's called here a righteous man. The King James Version says he was vexed by what was going on around him. I know I don't have answers to all my questions about Lot and about the Bible. But there is one thing I want to say and I want to think about and I want to focus on before I launch into the negative things about Lot's life. We can see the weakness and we can see the pain and we can see the consequences, but all throughout the story of Lot, we also see a merciful God. A God who doesn't give up. Abraham, in fact, who I might should say never gives up on Lot. And so we compare Abraham and Lot, and we learn a lot about in contrast to their character and behavior. And I'm challenged when I read this story to read it in the context of who Abraham is too. And also in a practical way, I've said this many times, every time I read a Bible story, I try to say in my heart to God, "God, what do you say to me about this story and this character, if you would?" And one of the challenges that I feel and I felt as I've been thinking about Lot's life is to always remember that no matter what we see in the lives of other people, God is still the judge. No matter what we see in the lives of people, we've got to remember that God is the judge. See, if I would just be the judge of Lot, I could just give you one side and I could give it to you hard. I mean, and I'm going to say some hard things about Lot. They're there. But I read in the New Testament that he's called a righteous man. And that kind of stops me in my track and reminds me that God is our judge. He knows our hearts. He knows our past. He knows our present. And he knows our future. And it's good to be reminded of who's in charge. So as we start into this story of Lot, I want to remind you that we may judge on the outward circumstances, and we think we know all about people around us. Maybe we're sure who's right and who's wrong and who is so far from God and who's not, but we should always be reminded that it's God that knows the depth of every single person, including you and me and Lot. God reminds us that He alone knows the heart. I think of the circumstances in the Old Testament and Samuel and how God reminded Samuel, man looks on the outside, but God judges by the heart. And we should always remember that. We should always remember that when we read the Scriptures and we read stories, that God is the one that can help us to understand the fullness of what He sees, and also help us to be merciful as He is merciful, and to see people as God does. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 13 if you want to, and I'm going to read the chapter, verses 1 through 18, and we're going to look into one of the first stories about, not the first, but one of the first stories about Lot. Would you stand with me, and I'm going to read chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. Listen to this story. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right, and if you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Just want to point out and notice that he pitched his tents toward Sodom, but he wasn't yet in Sodom. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, "Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south and east and west. All the land that you see I give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. Thank you. You be seated. We can see in this story, and really all these chapters in the book of Genesis, that the lives of these two men, Abraham and Lot, are linked together. They are intertwined in several stories. They were connected, and Abraham seems to always be close to Lot. He's always around the corner. He's always aware of what's going on in Lot's life. And so when we study the life of Lot, we also have to study the life of Abraham. And this morning I want to compare these two men in this story. Everywhere along this storyline and other storylines in these chapters in Genesis are comparisons to these men's character. What was Abraham's character? What was Lot? What was their faith? What were their choices? And what were the consequences that came about because of their decisions? Looking at their connection this morning, first of all, we know that Abraham and Lot were related. Abraham was actually Lot's uncle. Abraham's youngest brother, Haran, had died apparently earlier in life, and so Lot was somewhat of an orphan. And it appears that Abraham adopted Lot and took him into his family and took care of Lot, and pretty much Lot stayed with him and was with him for the rest of their lives. They were related. Lot had been adopted by Abraham. Abraham had kind of taken responsibility for Lot, which was very important in that culture, in that time. The loyalty was very important, and Abraham showed a lot of loyalty to Lot. At times when you would say Lot didn't deserve it, but Abraham still showed it. Lot became attached to Abraham, and to the land God called Abraham to. Lot went with Abraham. He went with him to the promised land. First, God called Abraham to go to a land that God would promise to him, and he did. And then Abraham went down to Egypt, and Lot went with him. And then they went up from Egypt back up to the promised land, and Lot went with them. Every step of the way, the Bible tells us that Lot went with Abraham. And so they were together. We also know that Abraham protected Lot. He was protected by Abram at least in two times or two situations. Lot was in trouble, and his uncle Abraham came to his rescue. In fact, one time Abraham took all the men of his household to go and rescue Lot. He was protected by him. We also know about both Abraham and Lot that they both were very wealthy. I'm not going to take time to read all the references about the wealth of Abraham and Lot, but they both were very wealthy. God had allowed them to accumulate a great deal of cattle and herds and maidservants and men servants. And Abraham's household was somewhere at least the men, like I said, just under 300 at this time. So imagine all the wealth that Abraham had, and Lot was very wealthy as well. And this led to the problem that we find in this story. They had so many flocks and herds and people among them that there wasn't enough green grass, there wasn't enough water, there wasn't enough space in order to take care of all the, you could say it like this, all the wealth that they had accumulated. The limited green space around them could not sustain them all. What a problem to have. Don't you wish that was your problem? You had so many animals, you don't have enough grass for them. They were very, very wealthy. You look at verse 5, it says, "Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together." I've had the privilege of being in that area of Israel for a brief time a few years ago. Very thankful for that. Just north of Jerusalem. And I got this picture off the internet. But this is kind of what it looks like in this area that seems to be described where they first were. The word that I would use to describe this area today is it's kind of scruffy. There are plants here and there, and there's some grasses and grains. But there's a lot of rocks and hilly areas and bare areas, and it's just not like Pennsylvania farmland, in other words. And so you can imagine, if you had a lot of animals and they were hungry one day, they would pretty much eat everything within sight. Then you'd have to move on to another area. In Abraham's day, they were pretty much nomads, and they moved around wherever the water flowed, wherever the plants were grown. And so you can see the limited resources and this situation that leads us to this first story of comparing the character between Abraham and Lot. There were tensions that arose. Verse 7 says, "And quarreling arose between Abraham's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot." You can imagine by now, if Abraham has 300 or so at least men that's attached to his tribe, and he's probably picked them up, some from the area where they moved from many years ago when God called them. You remember they were in Egypt for a while, and they had maidservants and probably men servants. So you have some that are literally from Mesopotamia, probably some that are from Egypt, and then some that have attached themselves by some means, maybe through marrying, from the land of Canaan. And so you have all these herdsmen of Abraham and Lot, some of them that are connected or related, but a lot of them who are not, and you have limited resources, and so you have these tensions that begin to take place. You can just imagine all these herdsmen and the challenges that come from taking care of all these things. And so trouble begins to brew, and there begins to be arguing and bickering, and that's our field, and this is our stream, and whatever took place. The Bible simply says there was quarreling between them. And so what happens when there's quarreling between people? Well, again, we learn of the character of Abraham and Lot. Abraham sees the trouble. He sees the quarrels, and he steps in to make peace. First thing I'll say about Abraham's character here is he was a peacemaker. And he did want to bring peace to this situation. And so he basically says to Lot, let's go up and look over the fields out there. And he says, Lot, you look to the left and look to the right. If you want to take everything to the left, it's yours. I'll go that way. But Lot, if you want to take everything on this side, it's yours to choose, and I'll go the other way. I don't know how Abraham could have been more gracious. I don't know how he could have been more kind. I mean, he was the one in charge. He was the patriarch. He was the boss. He was the breadwinner. He's the protector. All those things. But when it came to resolving conflict, what do we hear about Abraham's character? You know, great people resolve conflict. They don't make it worse. Great people go out of their way in order to reconcile. People who really have the heart of God within them do everything they can to say, our relationship is important. You're important to me. Now that's a description of Abraham. That's what Abraham wanted. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. I imagine Abraham's 300 men could have taken care easily and wiped out, if he wanted to, Lot's herdsmen. I bet he could have given the word and they would have gone and said, Lot, hit the trail. I don't care where you go, but I never want to see you again. That's not Abraham. What does Abraham do? He says, Lot, you're important to me. Relationship is important. He's generous. He's gracious. He's deferential. Whatever word you want to put in for the character of Abraham, that's Abraham. Lot, on the other hand, he shows his character too. He's quick to take the easy way out, to take the best road, to take the best land, to look and see where it's green and the rivers are and all the good stuff is. And I know what I want. I'm taking that. Abraham, thanks. You're a good buddy. I'm taking this. That's what it seems in the story to me. Again, I want to be careful about judgment. And we should always be careful about judgment, because only God really knows Lot's heart. But I can just tell you what the story looks like to me. Lot says, I want it. I'm going to take the best. See, there's a glaring contrast in the character of these two men. What kind of character do you want to have? What kind of person do you want to be? What do you want to be deep on the inside of who you are? Abraham and Lot are a great story to look at to determine who you are and who you want to be and the choices you make about your character and about your relationships, about the times when you have breaks in your relationships with somebody, about the need to be gracious and generous and forgiving. You want to look at that part in your life. You want to look at your life. This is a great story to do so. Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan. At that time, we're told here in verse 10 that this is before God brought judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. So we presume by that that the whole plain to the south of the Dead Sea and over on the eastern side of the Jordan Valley, which is still a fairly green part today compared to other places in Israel. You look at this little map here, kind of shows where they settled. It appears that Abraham settled in the area on the map that you see there, Hebron. And then Sodom, of course, on the southern end of the Dead Sea, and Gomorrah, and then around to the other side of the Dead Sea is the plain of Jordan. And so nobody knows exactly where, but probably somewhere in that area. And it was before God chose to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot chose the best. He thought for himself. Again, we see this contrast. Let me point out two other things about the contrast in the character of these men. I see in Abraham two pictures, two things that just kind of reinforce the character of Abraham. Number one, verse 4, it says, and where he had built an altar, there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And you look at the last verse. So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. Where do you find Abraham in this story? He's consulting the Lord. Abraham is smart enough to say, I don't know it all. I can't fix it all. I can't repair it all. I can't control it all. I need the Lord. Boy, do we need to be like Abraham in our lives and say, God, I need you. You know, especially when you're young, but that's a too much. Even old people can be so self-reliant. Downright stubborn. They just believe that they really don't need to be humbled before God. Well, Abraham wasn't like that at all. He to build an altar to the Lord, and there he called on the name of the Lord. Abraham does that many times through his life, a picture of his character. And then the second thing, Abraham was careful about conflict. He was careful about conflict. Relationships were important to him. How does Abraham handle conflict? He handles it with prayer. He handles it with faith. He handles it with unselfishness. He handles it with a generosity that says to this pipsqueak, Lot, I don't want anything to come between us. I mean, that's condescension. That's Abraham looking down at Lot and saying, Lot, boy, you're obnoxious. But I'll tell you what, I don't want anything to break our relationship. You're important to me. Look at verse 11, if you have your Bible open. No, I'm sorry, I want to go back up to verse 8. So Abram said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and mine. Here it comes, for we are brothers. Abraham says, we're connected. So let's cut this off right now, the conflict and the problems, and let's just not try to see who can get the most and the best. Let's just, Lot, it's yours. You're important to me. What's that say? Does that make Abraham weak? No. Makes Abraham strong of character. The kind of man that all of Christianity and all of the Muslim religion and Judaism looks up as the father of the faith. That's the kind of character that Abraham had. He handles his problems with faith and prayer and unselfishness. And Lot, on the other hand, is described in verse 12. Verse 11 says, so Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinning greatly against the Lord. I don't know that Lot knew that. Probably did. You know what I mean about riding the fence? You know what I mean about questionable things that even the Holy Spirit might say to you, be careful about that. Be careful about your sexuality. I mean, this is all a part of the story too. Be careful about giving yourself away. Be careful to know how precious the gifts that God gives you are and take care of them. Be careful. The consequences of riding the line can be so devastating to our lives. Decisions that are made that seem like, I know they're wrong, but it's just not that big of a deal in every area of your life. Maybe for Lot it's about greed. Maybe you would say he saw the green land and he went for it. Maybe most of us would, I don't know. But I am reminded that the consequences for Lot were absolutely devastating. I mentioned some of them before. And there are other things too. I don't want to be Lot's judge, but I can tell you what the consequences were. He rode the line. He kind of halfway in between. And he lost it all. I'm reminded of two, maybe you would say, sobering scriptures regarding Lot from the scriptures. One is very short and simple. The love of money is the root of every kind of evil. So true today. That's one of the issues that Lot seemed to have. Also reminded the words of Jesus, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Jesus reminds us of what's important in life, and sometimes we can throw it all away because we make quick decisions, we don't resolve conflict, we don't deal with things that we should in our lives, and we find out we lose so much more than we gain. Lot learned the hard way. Some ways, he waited too long in order to change the things that he could. than what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16. Debbie, I'm going to ask you to come and play quietly on the piano. I'm going to read one more scripture, and then we're going to pray together today. But I just want you to think about, as we close today in this introduction to Lot's life, writing the line in your life. You got to make a decision. Old Testament, the prophet said, how long will you hold between the two? Joshua said, choose this day who will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. I'm wondering if there's some people today that need to choose right now. That's what the Bible's all about. The love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the restoration, the power, all comes about when we humble ourselves before God. Say, God, I need you. I give my problems, my life to you. Would you stand with me? One more scripture, Matthew chapter 16. Sobering words, no doubt. What good will it be for a man if he gain the whole world yet forfeits his own soul? I feel like Lot was right on that line. Or what could a man exchange for a soul? Do you need to make a decision for God today? I just want to invite you to do it as we pray. Would you bow your heads? Dear Heavenly Father, you know today the path that each person walks. You know the path of every person here this morning. You know the challenges. You know the good times. You know those places where your Holy Spirit has spoken and nudged, and we've followed you. And you know the times when your Holy Spirit has spoken and nudged us and we've hardened our hearts and gone the other way. And Lord God, you know the consequences that come because of truth. When we follow you, or when we turn away from you, I pray that there would be a sense of humility this morning, a sense that says, God, let me come towards you. Let me turn towards you. Let me take steps towards you, even though they might seem small. God, I'm coming toward you. I know that you're going to open your arms. And Jesus said, he who cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I pray, God, that we would come with hearts that are seeking you with all that we are. I pray, God, that we would be willing to confess sin and say, God, I've fallen short of the glory of God. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask Jesus to restore me. I ask your Holy Spirit to reconnect with me and give me counsel and speak to me and guide me and convict me. God, you know if that's the prayer we need to pray today, pray that hearts would pray that. I pray, God, that you would speak to them, draw them, call them. Lord, may we seek you with all that we are, God, I pray. I pray, God, for those that might be here today, maybe maybe some of our young people that we love so much who are walking a line and making a decision about faith, that today they would say, I choose to walk with God. I choose to turn my back on things that I know are not right. God, I pray that they would pray that today. I pray they would put a stake in the ground, and that would be a stake they will remember and go back to at times that choices are made and maybe temptations are strong. Maybe when conflict comes, I pray, God, for those that are in conflict, that they would learn from the life of this man, Abraham. Help us, God, to value people. Help us to learn. Help us to be teachable, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless. If you want to talk to me today or any other time, just want you to know I want to be praying for you. Pray that God would lead you. Blessings.